Hello and welcome to Wonder Pod, episode 53. We have spun the roulette wheel again and come up with three people. For those of you that don't like me, I'm not on the roulette wheel, so you're never getting rid of me. But joining me this week is Glacinator.
Hello, everyone. Glad to be back from my art project hiatus.
And also joining me this week, because his slot on the roulette wheel is tiny, is Patrick.
What is going on, people? Episode 53? I've lost count. I think we're at 53.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yes, this is 53.
Cinq en trois.
Wait.
Frenchman.
Sorry.
No, I actually, what's a little scary about that is I took French in high school, and that's the only thing I remember is the numbers.
Specifically 53. This is coincidental.
Yeah, no. I'm not going to count for the fine folks on there, but if you'd like, later on I can count in French for you, what I remember of it.
Exciting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's riveting shit, let me tell you.
Glacinator. Wonderpod.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to break it down in French numerals. oh, no. Glacinator, what have you been playing this week?
I played Halo last night with Patrick and G, and, or was that last night? That would have been two nights ago. I don't remember. But we played a few ranked matches. We tried out the three team, there's three people on a team and there's four teams, and it got pretty hectic with Warthog Rocket Race. There's just freaking explosions everywhere. And then I had them try out the map I made, and I guess Patrick can comment later on whether he thought it was good or not. And we also played some Left 4 Dead over the weekend, I think. But I lagged out later on, so I stopped playing. And other than that, I've just been doing some more Minecraft, expanding my Minecraft domain. So yeah.
I've found something new to do with Minecraft. I'll get into it with my, what I've been playing. Did you play the penis into the vagina map, or did you play the other one?
No, I played the legit one.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, I was still looking for the penis and vagina map.
I still have to make it more aesthetically pleasing, if you know what I mean.
Ah. It'd probably go like top downloaded Halo, just knowing Halo players, because that's the closest they'll ever get to seeing one of those two items. Patrick, what have you been playing this week?
I have been playing, not a heck of a lot, but I did play the demo for a newish, pretty new Kinect game. Pretty similar, though, to a very successful Nintendo DS franchise, I guess, because there's two of them, called Brain Age, and, well, Brain Age 2. This new Kinect game demo is, of course, Body and Brain Connection by, I think it's Namco. The demo was pretty short, probably the shortest Kinect demo I've played. There's not a lot to it. Then again, there's really not a lot to the Brain Age type games on the DS anyways as well. You know, they're short burst gaming. What I did see of this demo, it's very similar, as I said, type of mechanic as Brain Age was on the DS. You do a task, and then depending on your speed, your coordination, your accuracy, you get a Brain Age score at the end of it. Your goal as the days and weeks go by is to train your brain, and in the case of this Kinect game, your body, for do better and faster scores, which, of course, drops your brain age down. The demo's okay, but it's obviously a blatant copy of Brain Age, even as a little Japanese doctor guy cartoon character. You know, has a bit of a motion twist to it. There's no major motion on the DS one, I guess. If you like this type of experience and you're bored with Brain Age 2 and Brain Age 1, I guess it'll feel familiar to you, so check out the demo. It might be what you're looking for. For me personally, I won't be picking up Body and Brain Connection or whatever the hell it's called. It's just not my type of thing to do on the 360, you know. The 360 is not really for me to play really short bursts of gaming, Nintendo DS type games. Wouldn't mind doing it occasionally on the DS, but not on the Kinect. One thing to be aware of is that Body and Brain Connection on Kinect, according to Future Shop and Best Buy, is going for $50, while Brain Age and Brain Age 2 will only set you back $20. So that's what I think of that demo is okay. As Glacinator just mentioned, I did play some Halo Reach a couple nights ago with the Audio Master G and Glacinator. We've been playing some of that new game type, whatever it's called, multi-team. That's kind of cool. Four teams of three people. Not bad. Rocket Race is now Hog Race. It's pretty crazy. Now there's so many more explosions going on. Of course, on top of the Warthog, there isn't a chain gun. There's a big rocket launcher. So you could imagine all the crap that's going on. Oddball is also different now. It's called Three Ball. Yes, I said Three Balls. Where you guessed it, there's three skulls on the map, and you have to try to get possession of as many of them as you can to win. So it's a nice kind of variation from the original multi-team. I think it worked out really well with the three of us. I mean, we were in a party of three, and there's a new three-man game type. So it worked out really well. As for Glacinator, as he mentioned, we played a custom-built map that Glacinator made. Unfortunately, we didn't have a lot of time on it, and there were some internet problems. So what I played of it was cool. I think we needed a few more people to shoot at. The map itself was good, but it was just three of us screwing around on it and occasionally some lagging out on people's part. But I think we should get back to it soon, and I definitely hope the giant penis and vagina map becomes playable at some point. What else have I been doing? Not much. I've been still playing my older collection of GBA and DS games. But, again, I've put a few of those Pac-Man plays up, and I'll put a few more on WonderPod Online. So, yeah, that's about all that I've been playing this week.
Answer a general question for me about the Brain Age stuff, whether it's Kinect or DS. Isn't that basically just a ginormous memorize and match type thing?
Sort of. It's mostly that, and it's based on doing tasks and different. Like the demo on Kinect had your avatar standing in the middle of what was basically three platforms, and what there'd be is on the left side of the screen, different colored trucks would come, and each platform, there's a high platform, a medium platform, and a low platform, so you're standing up straight, and you had to match the color of the platform on the right hand with the color of the truck. And you have to use your two arms as bridges, one to get the truck onto you and then one to get off the platform. So it was a combination of figuring out coordination, because these trucks started to come really quickly, and color at the same time. So they're pretty much mini games based upon reaction time, some memorization, depending on, like, the demo, like I said, was really short, but definitely Brain Age has a lot of memorizing. Have you played a Glacinator or the Brain Age games?
Oh yeah, I had it for the DS, but I remember on the DS version there was a lot more like math involved, and I don't know how they would incorporate that into the Xbox version.
I just wondered, because it sounds like I could get similar brain sharpening things from Bejeweled.
Yeah.
Or
it said I was 57. I mean, I felt insulted.
I had my pride damaged a little bit the first time I played Wii Sports with some friends of mine's kids. Yeah, let's just put it this way. My score wasn't great. I have been playing, well, let's back up. The end of last week, I was going through Knights of the Old Republic. Still going through Knights of the Old Republic a little bit, but it has pretty much died off because I got Bulletstorm. Now, Bulletstorm was a tough choice for me. I was a little bit afraid there'd be too much Gears of War, which I am not a huge fan of, and not enough of its own game, I guess, let's put it that way. Turns out that there is a little bit of Gears of War in it, which I will get to in a second, but really, this game is pretty much its own beast. It is a lot of fun. Contrary to some reviews, it does have a lot of replayability. It is not repetitive. Well, I suppose depending on your definition of repetitive, it could be. But it is exactly the type of game I wanted. Considering I had been in an RPG coma and not really playing a lot of multiplayer games because I was getting worn out and burnt out on them, it was perfect. There's a little thinking you gotta do, sure. But reality is, Bulletstorm is the perfect mindless fun. If you didn't catch my post on WonderPodOnline.com, basically my thinking is most of the reviews I've read, the scores are a touch high, but overall Bulletstorm is not a bad game. It's a lot of fun. I've beat it once. on normal, and now I'm going back through on easy, finding new and inventive ways to be a video game sadist by smashing people into things. The two things I found wrong with it were the same two things I had problems with in Gears of War 2, and I've heard were in Gears of War 1. The first is Epic's ridiculous crouch function. Push down the stick to hold it, to go into a crouch, but you have to hold down the stick, which a lot of times kicks you to the left or to the right, usually in the path of the enemy's bullets. Epic, I've looked all over the internet. I've seen people bitching about this since the Gears franchise. Why do you continue to stick with it? It's stupid. Look, I know, we bitch too much about games copying each other, but I don't care. Crouch has been around since Medal of Honor, the original one. Just put crouch in. Normal. The other thing, too, is the fact that this game has no jump button. Now, while there are some games that really don't need a jump button, this one does, because instead of asking you to jump, they ask you to press A. It's a context-sensitive thing. They ask you to press A to jump over some things and double-tap A to slide under some things. The problem is I have found in either Gears 2 or Bulletstorm that the context is way too sensitive. It's like one moment it tells you, press A. You press A, and the next thing you know, you're sliding into something because the function has gone away. So those two little minor things annoyed me throughout the game, and it did decrease my fun factor to a certain extent, mostly because by now Epic should have done something about it in my mind. I mean, while I appreciate how Bulletstorm is different than most FPSs, there are some things that it's okay to copy developers. So overall, though, Bulletstorm, really, really good game. May not be your cup of tea for $60, but I definitely recommend it as it drops in price. You know, I mean, it you can find fun in it. If you don't like replaying through the single player campaign, there's this mode called Echo Mode where you try and run through the single player maps as fast as possible, scoring as many points as possible. If that doesn't excite you, there is basically the Gears Horde mode. It's called Anarchy mode. It's slightly different in how it operates, but if you play Gears of War 2 Horde mode, you'll understand Anarchy mode instantly. It's a lot of fun. I played it by myself and had a blast with it for a few rounds. Obviously, the waves of enemies get a little too much. You can't do it by yourself, but overall, Bulletstorm is a good game. I'm glad I decided to take a chance on it, and thanks to the deal I got at Amazon, now Homefront's only going to cost me about $40. The other thing I've been playing is I started playing Minecraft again. I started a new world, and my idea this time with Minecraft is instead of building giant kingdoms, like some of the photos I've had running around the internet on wonderpodonline.com, I'm mapping out the entire world. And basically what I'm doing is I built one base camp, got a whole bunch of crap put together, and now I'm just going in a direction, using torches as a road. I tunnel through mountains. I build little shacks. They look like school bus stop shacks in case you need to get in out of the dark. So far, it's been pretty fun, but since the beta update, fire works a little bit differently, and I didn't know that, so I kind of sort of burnt down a lot more trees than I intended, which, on one hand, makes it easier to build my road, but on the other hand, kind of ran me out of wood a little faster than I wanted. I'm having a lot of fun with that. I can't play things like Bulletstorm constantly, so I needed something kind of, you know, a little bit different. Minecraft's been doing that for me. It's excellent as always. I said last year, and I'll say it again, it's best $15 or $15.50 that I think I've ever spent.
That's what's so great about Minecraft is that there's so many different ways to attempt to go about playing it, and everyone plays it a different style. I mean, you can make different types of games within the game itself. It's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, what I did once, Glacinator, was I just traveled around the world until I died.
Oh yeah,
you know, yeah.
I have a separate save slot where I just every time I generate it, I just keep walking as far as I can, and then when it's nighttime, I just stop and then I just restart it and just generate a new world just so I can see what stuff looks like.
Well, I didn't so much do that, and this was actually back in the alpha. I would do it and try and stay alive. You know, I'd blockade myself into a hill at night or whatever. But it got to the point where I had so many resources that it sucked every time I died. You know, it's like I got all this stuff built up. Damn, if I could just get back to my, you know, to my base.
Yeah, yeah. Creepers.
So, yeah, exactly. Actually, you'll find this interesting. I was cussing creepers on Twitter one day.
Mm-hmm.
I am now being followed by a creeper. If you go look at my Twitter list. And he actually, anytime I mention creepers, he'll do an at reply to me going, it's great. I thought it was the greatest gimmick Twitter account ever. But anyways, so this time I'm actually making a road and I'm just going to see how far I can go. You know, I've got pretty good armor. I've got, you know, I'm pretty well set up. Each little house or hut I've built is within, you know, safe traveling distance if it's getting close to being dark. The only thing I got to work on is now in the beta, you know, the fire tends to burn down everything for a long ways. so
yeah.
it doesn't pay to get lazy chopping trees out of the way of your road and just lighting them on fire anymore. I lit two trees on fire to try and kill a spider because I didn't feel like dealing with him, and it burnt down probably, oh, I don't know, half the map that I can see. So
yeah. What I did was in my main world, I mined the heck out of my island, my little area that I was on, and I just got bored. I was like, you know what, let's go somewhere else. And so I went to the main part of my base, I faced due west, and I just started making a road, just like straight ahead. And I would go through mountains, and I went over a lake, and I just ended up at this really cool landform, and I just made another base there. So I just keep on planning on going due west and see what happens.
Yeah, I may do that. I may incorporate building a little bit bigger base as I get further out from my main one. We'll see. But again, like you said, it's the best $15.50 I've ever spent. Way better than buying it a crappy Activision map pack, that's for sure. So that is what we have been playing. Our discussion topic this week, since I have two Nintendo heads, well, actually most of the guys that appear on the show outside of me, have some kind of handheld that isn't an iPhone or an iPad. Now, if you haven't heard, the iPad 2 is being announced next week at GDC. At least that's the rumor. Who knows? Both Wozniak and Jobs are nuts, so it's hard to say when they're going to announce things. But just hearing that there's an iPad 2 soon to be announced, and the fact that more than likely there'll be an iPhone 5 announced this summer, it started to make me think, because more and more both of those devices are seen as viable gaming platforms, and it made me start to wonder, is Nintendo and Sony gonna start doing this same thing? Patrick, do you think that Sony or Nintendo, use whoever you'd like, are they gonna start following in Apple's footsteps and just kinda tinkering with their devices a little bit and then kicking them out every couple years?
I really don't think so. Maybe Sony, but I don't think Nintendo will. Nintendo always does little updates. I mean, there was the DS Fat, the original one that I bought, the big heavy one with the darker screen. Then, of course, the DS Lite, which was physically lighter and brighter, too. We had better screens. And then there was, what, the DSi, and then there's the DS with the XL or whatever. So they have done minor variations. They did the same thing with the Game Boy SP, and then the Game Boy Advance, and then the Game Boy Advance SP. But the hardware itself hardly changed at all. I mean, you can't say throwing in a camera for the DSi or a web browser was a major change. So I think they will tinker around because they always have, and they might have to now to keep things fresh with Apple constantly and annoyingly refreshing their stuff every year. But as far as the essential hardware is concerned, as far as the device, the games, you know, developers, I don't think they'll have to worry that Nintendo's going to have a new system coming out every couple of years. Their games will still play. You buy a 3DS game on launch, I'm sure it will still play 5 years from now on the 3DS SP. It will look different. It might have a few minor differences, but no, I don't think they'll be putting out brand new systems every year or two.
But you would say if either of them was going to succumb to it, it would be Sony, not Nintendo.
Yeah, Nintendo's had such a good strategy, and it's been very successful, so I don't think they're going to change it. Sony, this is only their second handheld, so they might risk it more and do things, follow Apple more. If anyone's going to do it, I'd say Sony might try.
Glycinator, what's your thoughts? You think the Big N's going to start being more like Apple?
Oh, well, although Apple does have games now, Apple's market is so much different than the gaming market. iPad and iTouch are not just for games. They're phones and they're for reading books and whatnot. So while they do have some similarities between games, it's just you can't really compare it. Like Pat said with hardware, it's just unrealistic for a company to update their hardware that much. And I really don't understand why people keep buying different versions of iPhones. I think it's ridiculous, but that's just me.
So, okay, let me ask you this.
I will go with Pat that I do think Sony would be the one to change, not Nintendo. Nintendo isn't one to do something ridiculously crazy.
Now, let me ask you this, and I'll kick it to you first, Glycinator, because you just kind of jumped around my question. I have an iPhone. It's the only thing I play games on. The only other portable gaming device I've ever had was an original Game Boy, which still works, I might add. And a lot of people see this iPad-iPhone combo becoming a much more viable player in the gaming market. If that continues to be that way, do you think it will tempt Nintendo at all if they start to get a bigger share of the gaming crowd? Because right now, the only thing I play, you know, I probably won't get a 3DS because my iPhone, for whatever portable gaming I want to do, which granted isn't much, is perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it appears Apple will continue to get more market share in the gaming end of things. Do you think that will tempt Nintendo, or they'll just stick the course like they always have?
If Nintendo sales do go down because of games and or because of Apple, then yes, they will change. That's what companies do. And I don't know whether or not Nintendo will decide to turn their systems into more of a multimedia device like iTouch is. And I just think time will tell.
But you don't see it right now personally.
No, I don't see it right now. It's
okay.
That'd be too dramatic of a change.
Pat, if Apple starts catching them up, you think they'll go to more multimedia? That's a good way to put it, by the way, Glycinator.
Possibly. I mean, you've seen a slight change, albeit not very successful. A lot of the stuff Apple's doing are, for now at least, there's bigger games coming, are apps and downloadable games. You don't really go to a game store and buy Apple games. You don't go to GameStop or to Best Buy or wherever to buy an Apple game. You download it. And Nintendo has been experimenting with it with the DSi channels and WiiWare and things like that. So I think Nintendo will probably be forced to have more simplistic little small downloads. Have, I guess you could call them N-apps, Nintendo apps. I think that will be their response. I don't think they really want to, because Nintendo wants to charge more money for their downloadable stuff on WiiWare. But I think, if anything, the first response Nintendo's going to do is not create new hardware, but to have a, whatever, Nintendo, something other than WiiWare. That's what they're trying right now, but something more like the App Store. I think that's going to be their first response, if they have
Nap
to respond.
Store.
Yeah, there you go.
The Nap Store.
Yeah.
Actually, Patrick, you just hit on the head what I was going to say. Here's what's going to force Nintendo and Sony's hand. And I see Nintendo going last, because Nintendo's always had a good strategy, always had it well thought out, and have done well with it. But Nintendo's biggest problem is they are not set up for digital. And whether people like Glycinator and Gunsage like it or not, digital's coming. And it's something Apple does really, really well. I have right now Resident Evil 4 sitting on my iPhone. There are two really good RPGs from Square Enix that are for the iPhone. There's Call of Duty stuff on the iPhone. I think Killzone's coming to the iPhone, you know. So the quality of content is getting better in the downloadable apps. And the thing is I don't have to worry about a bunch more cartridges. All I have to do is sync my iPhone to my computer. Boom, it's there. I can play my games. I don't have to worry about it. You know, and of course that, again, we could drag it into the digital versus hard copy argument, but I don't want to because we've discussed that enough. But I think that's what's going to force both Nintendo and Sony's hands. And sadly, as much as I'm normally defending Nintendo because I've been impressed with their business strategy, that is one place where they're lacking. I think when the second Wii or their next console comes out, that will be the indicator whether Nintendo has learned their lesson on the digital end. They don't need to worry about HD too much. They don't need to worry about the fact that Sony has the Move now and Microsoft has the Kinect. I think the area they need to focus on is digital sales. And I mean, Patrick, has the WiiWare shop or whatever the hell it's called on the Wii gotten any better as the generation's gone on, or are they pretty much still just the same crap as it was before?
It's the same overpriced crap as before, really. I'm not even sure what's going on. I don't even check on the DSi about the DSiWare or whatever the heck they called it. It's the same. I mean, it's overpriced is what it is, I think. It hasn't improved, that's for sure.
Do you agree it's overpriced, Glacinator?
I don't use that. Yeah.
See, and that's the problem. I mean,
Nintendo's not known for digital. I don't use it for digital.
Well, you don't use anything for digital. You're the first 19-year-old caveman I've ever met. ladies and gentlemen, don't get me wrong. I understand his point entirely if you've listened to previous shows where we've talked about digital. But the thing is, you know what? It's like trying to stop a dump truck from running over a baby by stepping out in front of the dump truck. It's just not going to happen, you know. Digital is here. And I think that's going to be – do you kind of agree with that, Patrick? Are they going to have to work on their digital end, whether you like digital or not?
Oh, definitely. They have to work on it already. That's poor. They're doing a poor job of it. I think they're capable of doing it, and they have enough money that they could buy enough people who are capable of doing it if they don't want to. I just think they're being stubborn so far.
Glacinator, your dislike of digital aside, do you agree with Patrick?
Yes, I agree with Patrick. I do. Even though I don't want to, I do.
Yeah. Okay, so there you go. I like I said, I don't know. It's kind of funny because I know a European type person who was over here in the United States and bought an iPad and was so happy because they got it a couple weeks before it was out in Europe. I wonder how happy they are today knowing that the iPad 2 is coming out.
Are there any rumors as to the, like, I didn't buy an iPad yet because I heard the rumor like a few months ago, but is there any major difference, or is it just going to be software or what, or do we know?
We don't know yet, but they usually put enough difference in it that even the skeptics in the Applehead camp buy the damn thing. here's my thing. From what you've explained to me you want to do with the iPad,
yep,
you know, if you bought one, you can either get the original for cheaper and, you know, knowing that it's not gonna get so old that it's useless to you and your wife, or you can kick the extra money, buy the iPad 2, and know you're probably set for 5 years. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, for what you told me you guys are going to use it for, you know, it's kind of, don't take this the wrong way, but it's kind of like my mom with a PC. We're buying her a new PC. It's like, well, it doesn't need a hell of a lot. She just surfs the web and checks email and plays Facebook games. You know, she doesn't have the same uses I have for a desktop PC, you know. Hell, that monster you got will probably last 10 years now.
Yep.
You know? And I mean, I'm not cutting on you. It's just everybody's different in what their uses are. So I think you could probably get away with buying an iPad now, and it would, you know, it wouldn't get obsolete for you in the, you know, within the next, say, 3 or 4 years. Or you could just get the iPad 2 and it'd be good for God knows how long. Because that's the dirty little secret about obsolescence in tech, is what you do it, what you use it for. You know, my mother, her current computer, I built for myself and I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know how old that computer is. The fact that it's still running and performs pretty good is scary to me. Not because I doubt my building skills, but because it's just that ancient. You know, I mean, it's probably 8 or 9 years old. You know,
Windows 98.
No. It was out. That box had 98 on it originally. XP came out while I was still in college, so I got a student copy. Meaning, not a student copy as in, like, lobotomized, but a regular copy at student prices.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got a full-blown version of XP Professional on it. I need to find a college student to get a version of 7 for my desktop. Yeah, we'll discuss your fees later. Actually, I don't know. I may just buy an upgrade copy because they're actually cheaper. So anyways, but yeah, there you go, folks. We've once again established digital's taking over. Nintendo's probably smarter than everybody else. Well, except for Microsoft, who stayed out of the handheld market to this point. Okay, so we're now through our debate topic. We didn't get any Facebook questions, did we, Patrick? I better ask.
Nope, nothing on Facebook.
No death threats from Blue Puppets?
No, not yet.
Man, I tried. maybe that's the response. He's never speaking to us again.
Yep.
Him and his handler. Which, to be honest, at this point, I don't know if I'd blame the poor guy. We got some more questions from Survivor Man G. It's a little bit of everything from what I've had transmitted to me so far. This week's, though, might be slightly controversial. Dun, dun, dun. Take it away, Survivor Man G.
Wonder Pod security interface detection online. External message probe detected. System analysis detects sender G. Data analyzed. Prepare for audio playback.
What's up, Wonder Pod crew? Survivor Man G here for another installment of Wonder Ponderings. Life's been pretty good as of late. I mean, I not only have a significant amount of space food in storage, but now with a monkey-based fishing crew, I am able to rely on fresh food as sustenance. Quite the deal, monkey labor, that is. I fear I might become complacent in existence here. I still miss Audio Master G and the rest of my family, don't get me wrong. But considering how bleak of a chance I have of being rescued is, well, at least I can live long and prosper where I am. It could be far worse. Hell, I could be starving. I could be dodging bullets in some war-torn land. I could be sitting on top of a building while giant worms attempt to take out the structural integrity of the foundation underground. And officially now, the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon makes the Wonder Pod. In fact, I could be forced to toss my zombie-infected daughter out a window to fall to her, undeath? Is undeath the right term for when a zombie dies? Anyways, this all leads me to my question. See, last week, the Deep Silver Techland crew released an amazing trailer for the upcoming game, Dead Island. It was a fantastically edited mini-movie, shot in reverse sequence. Initially, you don't realize that the girl flung from the resort's upper level is a zombie. However, within a few seconds, it becomes apparent she is a zombie, and the trailer begins with an 18+ rating. Now, Jim Sterling over at Destructoid questioned all the commotion this trailer caused as offensive, since it's a child being killed. I argue it's a zombie being killed. The only cure is a bullet, plus she's dead already. I'm gonna cut to the chase here, guys. What do you think? Well, it looks like Diddy wants to get some dinner going. And since the monkeys haven't figured out how to barbecue like Grill Skills G, yeah, that's another one of my nicknames. Until next time, Survivor Man G, signing off.
Audio signal knock, 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 complete.
Well, Survivor Man G, good to hear from you as usual. Sounds like things are going very smoothly, and you're stranded in your places unknown. Almost a little too smoothly, to be honest. You know, with your monkey servants, if it's too good to be true, usually Survivor Man G, it is too good to be true. So you better be careful with those monkeys. There might be a revolution at some point. Anyways, on to your question. You know, I watched the trailer for Dead Island, and I thought, as a standalone trailer for anything, whether it was a new television series or a movie or a video game, I thought the trailer itself was really, really good. Really well done, and it got a lot of people talking. As you all know, I'm not the biggest zombie fan, so I think zombies are being overused in games, to be honest. But there's still no denying how cool this teaser was. And did it bother me, basically, that it looked like a young girl, a child, was killed in this trailer? No, because first of all, I knew it was a video game trailer. It wasn't a documentary or anything. And I didn't see this as controversial as a lot of people are seeing it there, Survivor Man G. And I have to agree with you. It's not like it's a child being killed. It's an infested or infected zombie that's being killed. You know, the girl is dead. The zombie is, I don't know, like you said, undead. So it's a matter of survival for those in the trailer. I think that's the whole point of the trailer, trying to show that, you know, no one is safe in this video game, even kids, and you're going to have to make decisions that you may not like. So I didn't see any really big controversy. It's just a video game trailer. And it was a zombie that died, not a little girl. I think this controversy was blown out of proportion. It didn't bother me at all. I thought the entire thing, including the death of the child, was well done as far as the trailer was done. So it didn't really bother me at all. I thought it was a great trailer.
I so badly wanted to cut in there and go, well, maybe they will revolt if they're Muslim monkeys.
yep.
I'm not cutting that out either. Glacinator, what's your take on Survivor Man G's question?
I wasn't disturbed by it at all. It was really cool. I mean, as gamers, we kill a lot of zombies. I know we've all killed at least a million zombies and Left 4 Dead by now. And then there's also the creepy little girls in BioShock that you do stuff with. I mean, it doesn't disturb me. I can see how it disturbed other people, but hey, that was the point of the advertisement. I mean, that's to get for people to notice it, so it did its job.
Here's the sad part, Survivor Man G. It never even dawned on me in the context of that being a little girl. My focus was more on, oh shit, that's a lot of zombies. It's a hotel resort. This is a really good trailer. You know, it was only when people started bitching about it on Twitter and in the article Jim wrote, and there was one today on CNN, how some guy on a high horse was not going to play the game because of this trailer, that it finally dawned on me that it's like, oh yeah, that was a little girl. Now, I'm not really sure that's because I'm a sick, twisted bastard who doesn't value human life, because I value most human life, unless her name is Carlos. But really, Glacinator's got it partially right. It's, you know, it's a trailer for a video game. It's meant to be provoking. It's meant to be shocking. And people are just oversensitive pussies. I'm sorry, I've been trying to cut down on cussing while I'm on this show, but no, they're just, people are such oversensitive pussies these days. It's a video game. You know, like Glacinator said, you're pulling a live genetic slug out of little children, little girls to be precise, in both BioShocks. Although, I will say, John Kind, who was on here a few weeks ago, and I were talking about that on Twitter, and both of us seem to recall that there was some uproar about the original BioShock, but neither of us could remember if the trailer specifically showed you dealing with the little sisters. Again, I think inside the gaming community, for the most part, there's not too much shock. I saw a little. I think this is just outside observers who are looking for a reason to be offended. It's a, what, minute and a half trailer. Big deal. Hey, it did its job. You know. It's just like the Medal of Honor, Taliban, no whammy. I mean, it did its job. I won't say that the company behind Dead Island did it on purpose, but if nothing else, it got them more publicity. You know, I mean, some of these sensitive Nancys don't get it, that all you're doing is making us more interested in the game, more people are hearing about it, you know, so, and that's the job of marketing. I don't always agree with marketing and the way it's done, but it's a zombie. You kill zombies.
If you want to see some disturbing stuff, go look at the videos from Libya right now. I mean, compared to other stuff out there, this really isn't that bad.
Well, you know, have you seen, I don't know if you've seen it or not, Glacinator. If not, you should go hunt it up. Jim Sterling at Destructoid did a Jimquisition where he talked about video game violence versus real violence. And in that video, he showed the video clip, and I can't remember the politician's name, Bud Dwyer. He was some kind of politician, got caught for corruption, was about to go to prison, called a press conference. They thought it was going to be a normal press conference. The guy pulls out a pistol and puts it in his mouth and shoots himself live on television. And Jim put that video in there just to show people what real violence looks like. There is no video game today, and I don't think there will be a video game for quite some time to come that replaces or that is the same as real violence. It just, I'm telling you, man, go hunt it up on YouTube or something. I mean, just hunt up the Bud Dwyer video. I mean, it's disturbing as hell. I mean, I've seen human violence, animal caused human violence, that kind of thing. That video even disturbed me. It was pretty disgusting. Patrick, anything to add before we leave Survivor Man G's question?
Nope, not really. I think we've all covered it pretty good.
Did you ever watch that Jimquisition?
I never saw that one, nope.
I'm telling you. I mean, if you've got an easily turned stomach, don't do it. But no. I'm telling you, go search Bud Dwyer video. I mean, the guy, he was an Ohio or Indiana politician, did it live on air. I think I was about 3 years old at the time. Oh, but I mean, it's disturbing. You know some of my past antics in my youth, Patrick. If I'm saying it's disturbing, it's probably pretty disturbing.
Yeah.
So, there you go, Survivor Man G. Hope you're doing well. I can't do it with a straight face. Hope the monkeys don't revolt. Okay. Do you want me to use the duck call to move us into news?
Sure.
Let's move on to news.
Wow, that was awesome.
Yeah, well, hey, I left my headset on this time, so I even damaged myself. I have no idea if that came out or not. Fuck it. It's time for news. Our first news story comes to us from Game Industry Updates. Actually, for those of you that think we're too negative, two out of our four news stories are actually positive things. So, there you go. Our first one comes to us from GameIndustry.biz. The headline is Epic relaxes indie royalty rates for Unreal Development Kit projects. Epic Games has altered the royalty system for the use of its Unreal Engine, apparently intending to make rates easier on small-time developers. Where previously developers using the free version of the Unreal Development Kit were required to pay Epic 25% of net revenues once their game achieved 5,000 in sales, the threshold has now been raised to 50,000. The new deal will likely prove particularly useful to developers of iOS and other mobile titles, commented Epic VP Mark Rain on the firm's forums. We realize that a lot of you are just started in the business, so not having to pay royalties on your first 50,000 should help you get a financial footing toward building a quality game development business. Non-commercial use of the UDK is completely free. But as well as the 25% cut for revenues above $50,000, Epic requires a $99 upfront fee if a project is to be offered for sale. While this is an awesome, awesome thing, and Unreal is an awesome, awesome engine, Glacinator, do you think that the fact that the Unity engine, which is used for a lot of iOS games, is completely free for the most part, prompted this, or is Epic just being good guys?
I mean, it could be a little bit of both. I mean, the Unreal Engine is really awesome, and what games use the Unity Engine?
For iOS?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you ask me a question that's not going to take 6 days of research? I mean, there's quite a few of them out there. How I got a hold of it was from my cousin who works in the game industry, so it gets used by quite a few people. Now we're just talking for handheld platforms, which Unreal doesn't get used a ton as of yet either. So they're kind of probably fairly similar in use, but without doing some extensive research, I can't give you quantitative numbers.
Oh. Well, I mean, any competition is good. I mean, this is just going to increase competition, more developers, more games. So this is just a good thing all around.
Patrick, let me phrase it a little better and make Glazenator hate me. Is Epic doing this just to be nice, or are they doing this because there are other alternatives out there that are cheaper?
A little bit of both, to be honest. It's good to see Epic is trying at least somewhat to help out the little guy. And, you know, it's cool in that respect. But I also think it's a way for them to get their engine in as many new games as possible. So, yes, they're, you know, they're trying to help them out as an aside, and they're emphasizing that to look good, and it is happening, so it is a good deal for the little guys, the little indie developers. But, you know, it benefits the indie guys. It's a great gesture, but it's also self-serving, you know. Overall, it's a good thing for these guys. The developers don't care if it's self-serving for Epic, because they're still getting a cut out of it. They're getting lower royalty fees. So, I don't know. It's a little bit of both, I think.
Yeah, I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't being a completely 100% feel-good story. I mean, I applaud Epic for doing it, but my sarcastic, slightly cynical brain thought, you know, I've got the Unity engine sitting on my laptop, been farting with it for a couple months, and it's completely free for the most part. I mean, there's some other terms and conditions where you do end up paying a fee, but you can build a complete game on it without anything whatsoever. And then distribute it via web browser without, you know, paying anybody. It's only when you get into the Apple market that you have to start paying. So I kind of wonder about that, but overall I do want to give Epic a round of applause. Mark Rain in particular has not been gamer kind, let's put it that way. And let's be honest, a lot of these small time indie guys are actually gamers who, you know, want to try their hand at making games and breaking into the business without going to school for it, or, you know, other ways of breaking into the business. So good on Epic. There is one other thing that just popped into my head. Patrick, I'll go to you with it first. Could this be because even though Unreal is still really, really strong, they want to find more uses for the engine because it is getting a little long in the tooth life-wise?
This version of the Unreal Engine, definitely. I'm sure they're working on new ones, and they're probably working on one for portable systems. But, yeah, overall, I think as much as it is a feel-good story for the developers, I think there's more to it than that. I think your cynical self is correct.
I think sadly.
Yeah.
Sadly, he usually is. Glacinator, is that kind of chime in with you too, that maybe there's a new Unreal version getting ready to drop, so they're, you know, just shuffling the old one out the door to people?
Yeah, I'm not denying that. It's pretty likely.
Hey, I'll give them credit. I think Unreal has gone through a bazillion facelifts, and I think at least one complete rebuild, but they've been smart to keep that name on it, because the Unreal Engine, as far as I know, is the oldest one still running around today. I, again, without doing a bunch of research, but I know Unreal has been around a long time and gone through some facelifts or two. Even our favorite General Burrito has worked with the Unreal Engine, when the hamsters will allow it. So, yeah, good job, Epic. Glad to see you helping the little guys, but I have my suspicions, much like Patrick. Okay, let's move on to our next story. It comes to us from Eurogamer.net, and I did this with our two resident Nintendo heads in mind. The headline was, 3D wasn't always part of the 3DS plan. And the story goes into how they started working on the next generation of DS, this, that, and the other thing. And some of the developers started working with a naked eye 3D panel, just kind of randomly, and then they started to realize that maybe they could stick it into the next generation of DS handhelds, and so now that's how you get to the 3DS. Patrick, my question to you is, would you have bought the next generation DS if you just removed the 3D and kept all the other upgrades or updates they've done to it?
Yes, I think most people would have. That's what I thought was going to be happening with the DS anyways. The 3D was kind of a surprise to me. I mean, much like the ultra-successful Game Boy, and then its successor was the Game Boy Advance. And the Game Boy Advance just took better graphics, better sound, better screen quality, and they took everything up to the next level, and the Game Boy Advance sold even more than the Game Boy did. So I thought that's what was going to happen with the with the DS. There was going to be a DS2, not a 3DS, you know? It's no surprise that originally they weren't even thinking about 3D. Most game machines, like they said, were in development from the moment that they released their last one. So all sorts of different stages, starting off as the, you know, latest system comes to retail. So I definitely would have bought it with or without the 3D. I don't know if anyone remembers back when it was first announced, and we talked about this on the podcast. I said, you know, whether or not the 3D works didn't matter for me. All I want is the successful formula that the DS has now, only updated with better Wi-Fi, better graphics, better screen, better controlling, you know, all stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure I would have bought it regardless.
Well, let's hope the audience has forgotten what you talked about when it was announced at E3, because I did. Glacinator, even though I could probably answer this question for you, would you have bought the next generation DS without the 3D?
Well, maybe. Gasp, I know.
Well, maybe I couldn't have answered this question for you.
I mean, it would most likely be yes, but if all they did was keep using the same, like, format, like what they're doing right now with the, first it was the DS Fat, then the DS Lite, then the DSi, then the DSi XL. I mean, I'm not interested in the DSi at all. It doesn't appeal to me. I mean, I needed a big enough step into something different for me to purchase another system, because I already had a DS Fat, and then I had to buy a DS Lite. So, I mean, even if it wasn't 3D, if it was something else that was not necessarily groundbreaking, but more of a drastic change than just going from having a camera or making the screens bigger. If all they had done was done that, then it would have been a maybe. It would most likely have been a yes, but it would have been a maybe.
So what you're basically saying is it would have been a much, you would have had to debate in your own mind more.
I wouldn't be as excited for it as I am now.
So the 3D is a decent hook for you.
It is, yes.
Which is interesting.
I haven't heard anything bad about it yet, so.
Well, it's interesting because it sounds like from this story, the 3D was kind of a complete accident.
Yeah.
You know, which is cool because a lot of times, ladies and gentlemen, in development, you know, some of the best stuff that comes along is usually complete accidents. So that's interesting. Patrick, would it have been a harder decision for you, or are you enough of a consumer whore it would have just been full steam ahead?
It would have depended on the games. It would have depended on how much better the graphics, sound, and online capabilities were. I probably wouldn't have rushed out and got it right away, but I probably would have got it in the long run. I mean, just like I'm saying, I had a Game Boy, and I loved the Game Boy Advance, and that didn't have anything revolutionary except for better graphics and sound. So I probably would have regardless, but as Glacinator said, now that we know the 3D works and that there's practically no negativity about it, I'm definitely more excited about it because it's 3D.
So that did hook you in a little more, much like it did Glacinator.
Yeah, once I found out from reviews and hands-on impressions that it worked, then yeah, it's definitely interesting. Yeah.
Well, the one thing I like about it that I'm reading, and believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, as much as I like having fun with my two big Nintendo fans here, this is the first handheld that's not my iPhone that has made me go, maybe with the first price drop I might pick this up, you know. So, I mean, they've done their job well, even if the 3D was a happy accident. But did you also notice in this article, too, that, and I had not read this anywhere before, that the you can kind of turn down the 3D like a volume control.
Yeah, the slider. You didn't know about
yeah.
that?
Yeah. Huh?
You didn't know about that?
No, if I had heard about it, I missed it. Or, you know, or I've forgotten. Yeah, I was unaware of that, and that actually seems like a really cool thing to me.
I don't understand how that works, really. I knew there was an on-off for 3D, but the way they're describing it here, you're right, it's like it's a volume control, only a 3D control or something. Kind of interesting how that's going to work.
I would suspect, and since Glacinator seems to be up more up on it, maybe he can chime in too. I would suspect it's going to be kind of like a contrast and brightness control for your TV or for your monitor.
I'm not sure how exactly they're doing it, but I know that the 3D effect is using different screens behind screens. And maybe sliding that slider moves some screens out of the way. Turn off.
For the human eye to see true 3D, you need two pictures on two separate screens timed exactly right to fool the eye into seeing it the same way you see things when you view them just in the regular world. I could be here 6 hours explaining the exact process, but I would suspect that you probably got it right. It's probably fooling your eye by moving the screens around, giving less of a 3D effect, more of a 3D effect. But I would suspect it's probably going to work like when you make your TV a little brighter or a little darker.
It's kind of like when you go from when you're cross-eyed to when you're not cross-eyed. The way your eye moves.
Right. Yeah, except I can't cross my eyes. I'm too retarded. Oops. You used a bad word. Oh, no. There was something else I was going to add. And to tack on to this story, you guys will find this interesting. From three or four people on my Twitter feed, including the wonderful IGN Jessica Chobot, and I think Jeff Gertzman, have been playing, I know Gertzman for sure was playing Killzone 3 in 3D. Made him want to chuck his lunch after about 20 minutes. Playing it with 3D, with the glasses, and I just saw Chobot said that she was playing Fable 3 in 3D and it was making her nauseous. So, if the glasses version of 3D, doesn't work out as well, for gaming, which I kind of suspected, Nintendo really might have a big hit on their hands if you can turn down the 3D, Because watching a movie in 3D requires you think about it, watching a movie in 3D requires you to do nothing but sit there. With a video game in 3D, you're actually interacting with it. And so I could see how that could lead to some nausea, So, it's going to be kind of interesting to see how this all works. But, you guys, Glacinators maybe got me. I have to admit, ladies and gentlemen, I was being a smartass with him there earlier, saying I could almost answer the question for him. And you normal audience members have seen how enthusiastic he is about Nintendo. Oh, and speaking of which, another thing, too, to wrap up last week's story of, Nintendo's damned if they do, damned if they don't. Yeah, Nintendo's pretty much people are pretty much screaming and hollering about the launch titles like no other games are going to get released for 3 years afterwards. So, we pretty much nailed that one on the head last week. Nintendo's was damned if, or last week or 2 weeks ago, was damned if they do, damned if they don't. So, Patrick, any final thoughts? Is 3D going to make you nauseous?
If it does, I'll just turn it down.
Another well-known person's like rambling. That was kind of my point. I think that will help the 3DS in that, stomach's getting a little nauseous. I think I'll slide her down a bit, send it back towards 2D. I'll use you guys as guinea pigs, find out if the damn thing actually works, and then when the price drops, I'll buy one. But hey, I'm up front. Okay, and our next story, and Patrick can feel free to make animal noises if he doesn't want to chime in. But I felt I had to do this because it kind of pisses me off. I'm sure you guys are aware of Minecraft by now. If you're not, I'd like to know the rock you've been living under. Well, while it didn't come as much of a surprise to me, it did really kind of annoy me. This story comes to us from Eurogamer.net, and what annoyed me so much is basically can be covered with the headline, Microsoft clone Fortress Craft. Hits XBLA indie games, and they go on. Indie hit Minecraft has an admirer, Fortress Craft. A shameless clone will launch on March 4th for either 80 or 240 Microsoft points. I'm sure there's two different packages. They go on and on and on. There's a video where you can watch. It's basically Minecraft that somebody ripped off. As you can tell from the way I'm going through this story, I don't like it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to let my other two co-hosts say whatever they want, but my plea to you, our listening audience, is if you're at all interested in something like Minecraft, go spend the extra money for Minecraft. This thing, just watching the trailer video, looks like garbage to me. And as much as I don't really like crapping on guys doing indie stuff on Xbox, this is just, it just doesn't look good enough. I'm sorry. Go pay the, I think it's $20 or something like that now for the beta version of Minecraft if you're really, really serious about playing a sandbox building game like this. I mean, basically anybody that has a computer that's operating and functioning correctly can run Minecraft. So my plea to you is if this game looks good to you, please check into Minecraft first. I know this is much cheaper, but it's also much cheaper looking. Okay, off the soapbox, Patrick, animal noises, or do you actually have something to say about clones?
Oh, not much to say because I've never played the game on PC. So, I don't know. I didn't even know this game existed until this article. So the people who, the indie developers, you know, whether or not they're getting good publicity or not, at least they're getting publicity. If it's a direct copy, or what's the deal here? Is it just like a crappier version of it? Is that what it looks like, or what?
Did you watch the video?
I saw it, but I haven't really looked at anything Minecraft either, so I couldn't tell if it was much worse or what.
Oh,
Bruce, you need to link the video on the website. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Oh. It's,
well,
we'll get to you in a second.
I see. So you haven't looked at any of my, looked at my Minecraft picture essay that I took so much.
But
I'm just giving you shit.
For a dollar, right? If it's 80 points and it's a dollar, I mean, I don't think I'm gonna download it. But now I'm interested just to see the demo, to see, you know, how poorly of a version of Minecraft it is. That's all I gotta say. I don't have much to say about the subject, really.
You want to throw in an animal noise or two? Just to give the audience what they crave when you don't know what want to talk about stuff?
I don't know. Should I do it now? You do a duck call. Do the duck call.
Do the duck call?
Yeah, yeah. This is my official answer to this question. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're lucky I didn't bring in the bull elk call. That thing's really loud. That's why I didn't do it. Glacinator, I may, as much as G has been after me to do this, and I think it's not necessary. I may actually break my linking rule that I don't like putting links on there. I may actually put the video link to this story on there, but Patrick does bring up the point that do we really want to give it any more publicity? I more wanted to mention it because I'd rather people go buy Minecraft, but why don't you just go ahead and ran away because I know you're a Minecraft player like I am.
Okay, well, the reason why I wanted you to link the video is although it is annoying, it's a very annoying clone. Although it is a clone, it is hilarious though. There are just some parts where it is such a blatant copy that you just can't help but laugh. I mean, they have copied some details like down to a T. In Minecraft, you can make bookcases, and I've compared pictures. The bookcases in this clone are almost exactly the same as the bookcases in Minecraft. Literally, the book is tilted at the same like 45 degree angle at the same area. It looks like they ripped the graphics off and then put it on Xbox. Another thing that irks me is that they tried to make it look fancy. One of the main appeals of Minecraft is it looks so simplistic, but you can make complex structures out of such a simplistic object. I mean, in this, they actually have like blades of grass and there's like a water effect where the water looks like it's rippling and everything. And I don't like that. I like Minecraft because it's so simple. And another thing that I thought was really hilarious was all the detail that they put on your pickaxe. It looks like you're freaking Gordon Freeman running around with a crowbar pickaxe. It looks like it has like blood and dirt on it. And they had this awful music playing in the background. I mean, please do not buy this. Indie developers need to develop their own stuff, not blatantly copy a game that this Notch, the guy that made Minecraft, has poured his life into. I mean, this Minecraft is his life. It makes me feel bad, but at the same time, it is a good laugh if you sit down and compare the two games.
So I take it just real quick, not so much to do with the story. I take it you don't use any texture packs or anything in Minecraft.
Oh no, I've used texture packs.
Oh, okay.
But the fact, like, they have blades of grass and...
Yeah, I noticed that in the video.
And water ripples and... Ugh.
Yeah, I kind of left that out in my part I just did more of a plea because what you were saying pre-show, I thought you had a pretty good, head of steam for this story.
Yeah.
But if you want me to link it, like I said, most podcasts don't do links, and I don't really see.
I mean, if you don't want to, then
no. But my more
take my word, people.
Let's bring Patrick in on this. Do we want to give it that much more publicity? I mean, that's kind of where I'm kind of balanced with the whole linking thing.
I mean, below it, you can put a link to buy Minecraft.
Ooh.
Just say, buy this.
Or link both and say, compare for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, if we catch you buying it, Patrick, you know what's going to happen to you. Glacinator's going to be very mad at you. I won't have to do it. I won't have to buy anything.
Dollar well spent. Yeah. I got to try the demo now.
See, he's such a damn cheap bastard that it's like... Wait, I don't know. I'm
like
you almost have
face palms.
Yeah.
Face palm.
Is that anything like seven Hail Marys? I'm sorry, Patrick. I couldn't pass it up. Face palm.
Nice.
Now I want to go find a Catholic priest. Can I do face palms instead of the rosary? What do you think, Father? actually, I joking to a point, but. No, actually, our Catholic priest here in town is a really cool guy. We'll see, ladies and gentlemen, what I end up doing. I'm sure you'll find out when you tune into WonderPotOnline.com to pick up the show. But unless you're an uber penny pinching bastard like our very own Patrick, I'd really recommend that you go buy actual Minecraft, please.
Put a disclaimer at the bottom of the link saying that if you download this Glizzinator will disown you for life.
I like it. We might do that. Okay, moving on from rants and duck calls to our final story. And it's a story that I just really want to bring up. Maybe the Epic story wasn't quite heartwarming, but this one was. Comes to us from Games Radar. Blind Gamer inspires all with Abe's Exodus run through. If you haven't figured it out, this guy's 23 years old. He's an Oddworld fan, and there's a video of him beating the entire game, and he's completely blind. He's been blind since the age of 10. He figured out a way to play through the game with sound cues and context cues, maybe a buddy sitting there helping him. But my point in this whole thing, if you actually went down and read the comments, of course you see the worst side of humanity, a bunch of jerks. But my point is, ladies and gentlemen, the reason I bring up this story is this guy's completely blind and he's found a way to play video games, much like the disabled gentleman we did the story on last week. My thing here is, anytime you're having a bad day in video games or you think you're being taken to the cleaners by Halo Killer 6767, I just want you to remember that there are people out there in the world who have it far worse than most of us do and still try to find ways to participate in the hobby that they love. I found this to be a really, really cool thing. I'm glad Games Radar did a story on it. Glacinator, anything to add?
To add to it, I think it's interesting to point out how we as people who are not blind, how easily we overlook sound design in games. I mean, some people don't even like rate sound when they do a review. I know you do, Patrick, so that's good. Yep. But I mean, that's just an interesting fact to point out on how we don't really notice the little ticks that can be added that really add to the experience and that can make someone who is blind have that much more of a better time.
Also, too, I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. In my synopsis, I missed something. The company that makes the Oddworld games, and I don't even know if they threw the name in here, and I can't remember it now. But they're actually the ones that found out about this kid. They had his video on their website. They did some other things for him. So, you know, I mean, I thought it was pretty cool that the company that was behind Abe's Exodus.
Oddworld Inhabitants.
Thank you. You know, did something for the kid as well. So, I mean, it proves, you know, proves that, that there are good things going on in gaming, and as much as we like to be negative, we're trying to bring up the positive every once in a while. Patrick, your thoughts?
Well, interesting point Glacinator brought out that I didn't even think about until he just mentioned it is how important sound effects, music, and cues are in games, you know? I've played games with just my TV on, and then I've switched over to the surround sound 5.1 thing, and it's amazing the different sound effects that are in games that you just don't pay attention to, and sometimes, at least I don't, and I think Glacinator brought a really good point, and maybe we all should spend a little more attention to the audio and the sound effects in games. Aside from that, you know, I watched some of that video, and it's pretty really impressive feat, really, and the way he talks about it, he can visualize it in his mind's eye, so to speak, what's going on. You know, he was not only playing it, but he was playing it better than I ever would be able to. It's a cool story, and it's great to hear of these types of gamers not giving up on what they love to do, no matter what disability they have, just like the guy last week who did it. You know, it's good for them, and, you know, good for him. It's a good story. That's all I can say, really.
Yeah, it's funny because I still miss, or I still don't realize how important the sound can be to a game. And I actually, most of the time, play with headphones. Because I learned years ago, and I may start doing it again in the 360 with the headsets dropping in price, that you hear a lot more playing first-person shooters when you use headphones.
Oh, yes.
In Quake, and in the original COD, and in Medal of Honor, I mean, you could hear the footsteps, you could hear everything. It's always good to have a good set of quality headphones. But even with that, much like Patrick was talking about with switching from normal sound to 5.1 surround, you know, it doesn't dawn on you, you know, how many ambient sound effects there are in the game. And maybe with this, you know, being kind of touted by a developer, maybe some other developers will think about it. I mean, how hard is it to add in a few extra sounds for somebody like this kid to be able to play other games? You know, it's definitely, like you said, Glacier, I'm glad you brought it up. It's definitely something to think about. And hey, we are doing a happy story. And it was also the last story. So that is the news. Patrick, hit him with your world famous and world renowned marketing spiel and we'll get out of here.
Okay, people, time for more whoring out of the podcast, the website, everything. Of course, we all know some of you might have downloaded this directly from, or some of you not, wonderpodonline.com. That is the name of the website. We've got all sorts of stuff on there. We've got stuff from Glacinator and for Bruce Gunsage, you name it. There's wrestling stuff in there, reviews, video games, even some stuff for me occasionally on the site. That's wonderpodonline.com. Check it out. Of course, the podcast is on iTunes and also on Apple TV. For those of you that have that, subscribe to us. Please rate us. Otherwise, no one's going to be able to find us in the search engines. The subscribing and rating is actually quite important on iTunes. We have, of course, our official Facebook page, WonderPod Online, where you can ask us Facebook questions and see how long it takes for us to actually answer. Sometimes it takes a while. We're on YouTube, too. We got some highlight reels. Check that out. Of course, you're looking for WonderPod on YouTube. And finally, if all of these ways are, you know, of being part of the WonderPod team is just not enough for you, we do have an old-fashioned email address where you can send your hate mail and your cease and desist orders to. What is that email, Bruce McGee?
It is wonderpodonline@gmail.com. wonderpodonline@gmail.com. That is also, ladies and gentlemen, another reason why Patrick's not allowed days off unless his wife tells him, is because nobody does that marketing spiel very well. On that note, this has been WonderPod episode 53. I have been, and might still be, Bruce McGee. I'm out of here, people. See ya.
Goodbye.
See you later.
I have a there you go.
I have no idea if any of that is actually getting into the microphone, but we'll find out.
I can hear it. It's beautiful.
Sounds like something's dying.